Good morning. Extend Christian greetings to each one this morning. I invite you to the book of Romans. Some of you might remember the challenge Jim posted a few months ago about digging into the book of Romans, and I felt led to do that. So this morning we're going to look at an introduction into the book of Romans, a fascinating book that we have to study here. I was also thinking as we were praying for Drew and Andrew, yes, we're sending two out. And the front lines was mentioned, and yes, they will be. But you know what, as I was thinking, as we were praying, you know, that's what it will be each one of us tomorrow morning. As we get out there, wherever we are going, we're too going to be facing different things. So yes, we're sending two away, but each one of us as well. As we are in our home communities or our occupations, may we be faithful to the Lord as well. Digging into a book like this, you often wonder what inspired the writer to write this. And you go to different books, we open the Bible and we read, and we can glean from it and appreciate it. And sometimes I have to ask myself, well, what inspired, and whoever the writer is, to write what he did to the people? So let's look a little bit, just as your Bibles are open to Romans there, it's just a little bit of an introduction here. We know it was written by Paul. We can see that in the first verse, and also a little bit later on in Romans 15:15. We get asked when it was written, but between AD 56 and 57. Paul had just completed his third missionary journey. He was in Greece at the time when he composed this letter. It was delivered to the Romans by the hand of Phoebe, which we can see back in Romans 16, verse 1. So written by Paul, but delivered by another. And to whom it was written, we could look at Romans 1:7. It says, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, written to the Christians there at Rome. And then also, what was the purpose? And here's where, you know, why, what compelled Paul to write this, and several reasons. Paul, as we'll see in Romans 1:10-11, he wanted to go visit the church there at Rome and instruct them in the faith. This was a church that he had never visited before. And you look at some of the other, we know Paul as a man who started many churches, but this one he did not. He wanted to visit them, instruct them in their faith, but he had another idea in mind. He wanted their help and their prayers, because he had a vision to go on from there to go do an evangelistic outreach in Spain. And in order to do that, he needed a home church to help him through with that. And we can find that in Romans 15:24. He says this, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, to the church here at Rome, for I trust to see you in my journey and to be brought on my way thitherward by you. So he was wanted to get the church, get his vision exposed to them so they can help him on to his outreach in Spain. He says, for if first I might be somewhat filled with your company. So a purpose, establish them in the faith, and then use them as a home church so he could reach out to the people in Spain, which will be closer to Rome, would be closer to Spain than what his home base was now, which was he is based at Antioch. So by writing to them, he was preparing them for the time when he would expose his vision to them. He wanted to make them familiar with his name, with his mission, and his love. So we can look at this letter as Paul writing this to open up and prepare them for when he was going to visit them. And unknown to him at the time that he was writing this, the visit to Rome would come later, but it would come in chains, not in freedom. Also, Paul had a lifelong, call it a strategy or a goal, to evangelize the cities that stretch from Jerusalem to Rome. A lot of cities along the seashore, if you look on your maps, and he wanted to reach out to each one of these. He wanted to reach out to that area. And he knew that an area that was so greatly traveled with sea traffic would be assured the spread of the gospel. So Paul had picked that area and back to Rome with over 1 million people living there in Rome. Rome was, at that time, a capital city known as one of the greatest empires the world has ever known. And Paul knew that if he could plug in there, it would provide good opportunity for world evangelism. Paul was aware that Rome conquered for Christ could also almost mean the world conquered for Christ. And if you look at the area he wanted to cover, you think of Jerusalem and Rome, it's over 1,400 miles between the two cities. So whether it was his mission or his strategy, nonetheless, he was covering a broad area. 1,400 miles is the people he wanted to reach. And as you think about that, it might help to understand why he wrote what he did in Philippians 4:13, where he said, I can do all things. And he says, through Christ was strengthened me. Paul recognized that Christ was his source of strength and energy. Let's look at some special features about the church at Rome. The church was a strong church. A fourth century writer says about the Roman citizens, he said, they had embraced the faith of Christ without any sign of mighty works or any of the apostles, quoted by F.F. Bruce. So we see it was a strong church. And what F.F. Bruce wrote there, it shows a people of great spiritual depth and maturity. So when we look at, we call it at the meat that he wrote here in Romans, we can understand why, because this church was strong and had spiritual depth. But the question still comes up sometimes, or came up, how did the gospel reach Rome? Remember we said that Paul himself never visited this church, so how did the gospel reach Rome? And doing some studies, there is no solid facts that prove who started it. Nonetheless, what we have here is a great flourishing church in the capital city. Moving on, Rome had a worldwide reputation. Look at Romans 1, verse 8. He said, First, I thank God, through Jesus Christ, for you all, that your faith, their faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. A worldwide reputation. The church was spiritually mature and able to digest the meat of the word. And when you read through Romans, you'll see almost every page covers some major doctrine or theology or a deep discussion. They were able to digest that. Rome was a Gentile church. Gentiles covered the vast majority of the membership. Rome was also a persecuted church, severely persecuted about 7 years after Paul wrote this letter to them, charged with and persecuted for crimes which they never committed. But through this persecution, what happened? They were spread abroad, and the glorious news of the gospel was spread throughout wherever they went. Rome was also a triumphant church, unashamed of its life and witness. And as you hear about this church, may we apply this to ours as well. May we be a strong church and a triumphant. He was willing to stand up and be counted on the side of them that were persecuted, those who suffered. If you go to Acts 28:13-15, you'll find out that Paul, while being taken to Rome, when he had appealed to Caesar, he was being taken to Rome. When he was still yet 30 to 40 miles away, the church at Rome and some of the Christians here went to meet him and came back with him. And it said, the sight of the dear believers filled Paul with a sense of glory seldom experienced by men. So we see it was a triumphant church, willing to suffer with those who were suffering. Romans is known as the great epistle of theology. It's a statement of what Paul believed, a statement of his theology. Paul, in writing to the Roman church, was not writing to meet some special problem or danger or error, as he did when he wrote to some of his other letters. He was writing primarily to root and ground the Roman believers in the faith as deeply as he could. And again, it all goes, not the only reason, but it goes back to the fact that where they were living in an area a lot of people traveled through, and if he could have a Christian church, solid Christian church there in Romans, it could help evangelize others as they reached through and thus reached the world with the gospel. Romans, a few more facts, known as the gospel truth, also desperately needed by every man, whoever or wherever he may be. Romans, what it does, it points people to the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the sinner's only hope. And it's by his death and his resurrection and through faith in him, the doors of heaven are open for the redeemed to enter in. And we can find that here in the book of Romans. One writer said, unless readers grasp the meaning of Romans, they will not be well grounded in the Christian faith. So we need to grasp the meaning of what we see here. Romans is also known as the church's last testament, just what the church needs to hear. It has been said Romans comes closest to being the one written possession a church needs, the most comprehensive statement of Christian truth. And I'm learning as well as I go through this study, but there's so much theology found in this book, described as the longest and most profound of all the New Testament epistles. And not to minimize the others, but this is what's said about this one. What about the theme in the book of Romans? The primary theme centers on salvation, the free gift of God, offered by God's grace, grounded upon Christ's death, and received by our personal response. So salvation is for all, designed and put in place by God, made possible through the death of Jesus Christ, and available to all by accepting the gift, which is our personal decision. The book of Romans has two large sections, a doctrinal section in chapters 1 through 8, and a practical section in chapters 12 through 16, with in between there some different section there about relating to the nation of Israel. A dominant theme in the book of Romans is, quote, the righteousness of God, unquote. It's found a number of times, and it speaks of putting us as mere humans right with God himself. You know, as unworthy and undeserving as we are, God made a way that we can be reconciled, brought back to him through the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. So quickly, that's a quick introduction to the book of Romans. So hopefully we can remember some of that as we study through. But now we want to jump into the first couple of verses, and we will go as long as time allows. But we have book of Romans, 16 chapters of profound teaching. And verses, the first number of verses is Paul's salutation or his greeting to the church. And if we remember, this was a church he had never visited, so his greeting was a little bit longer than his letters to some of the other churches. He introduces himself, Romans 1:1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. And we could put it in park there for a while, and we will just for a little bit. But he introduces himself as a servant. Paul is saying, I am a bond servant of Jesus Christ. Remember, he is introducing himself to the Roman church. They never met him. He never met them. But he is saying, here's the letter. I am a servant of Jesus Christ, informing the church that he is a slave, one who is owned by another. He belongs to Jesus Christ. I am a servant of Jesus Christ. And therefore, Paul is obligated to serve him. And the same is true for us today. Remember, Mr. Rutt, we need to make some application as we go through this. This is for us today as well. We have Jesus Christ as our master. He is the one we serve. He is our shepherd, the one we trust and obey and follow. He bought us with his blood. He paid a sin debt for us, and we are his. We too belong to Christ. So you could put your name in there. We are servants of Jesus Christ because we are owned by another. He bought us. We are his. And that's what Paul is telling the church here. Like Paul, our whole life is subjected to the authority and the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's kind of a big step in life. But Paul, as you will see here shortly, it seems like from when I was studying this, Paul just laid aside everything, my friends, and said he is just going to go on and serve the Lord. And I already mentioned that his goal, I'm not sure how old he was at this point, but his goal was to evangelize 1,400 miles, 1,434 to be exact. We have some people that are exact in their timing and stuff, and there we have it, 1,434 miles apart. And he wanted to cover it all. He didn't have a lot of time for other things. And no, I'm not saying we should quit our jobs in the morning, but it wouldn't be a bad idea if we did. But Paul, our whole life, and we can, by the way, serve the Lord in our jobs, and I trust we are doing that. But our whole life is subjected to the authority and the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you feel like you were bought this morning? Are you a servant, faithfully serving him? And is our life, is our goals to serve him? Or do we say, Lord, let me first then? And remember how in the book of Luke, I believe it is, Jesus didn't have a lot of time for those that were me first. But is our whole life subjected to the authority and the service of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Listen as I read. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and here, ye are not your own. Verse 20 tells us why. For you are bought with a price. Therefore do what? Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, what which are God's. How can we explain this in a clearer way? As a child of God, I believe, is part of God's investment. He sent something he had, namely his son Jesus Christ. So he sent him to this earth as a lamb sent forth to pay, to redeem, to remove the debt for the wrongs that we have done. This was made possible through giving his life there on Calvary. So we are not our own. We are part of the property that God invested in. When we make investments today, we like to have a return. And that's what God has there. That's what God has for you and for I. He bought you. He bought me. We are part of his. And he's looking for a return as we give back to him. And that's why our entire life needs to be dedicated back to God for his service. Paul says, a servant of Jesus Christ, comma, called to be an apostle. Now the next thing he's telling them, apostle is one who is sent forth with a message. Remember, Acts 9:15, he was called by God on the road to Damascus. He was not self-appointed, but called by God. So when Paul finds himself in difficult situations, he could always remind himself that he is simply being faithful to God's call, sent forth with a message of the gospel. We often talk about Matthew 28, the Great Commission. We too, we fall right into this. We have been called by God. Maybe we won't consider ourselves apostles, but we're called by God to take forth the gospel message. If it is rejected, if people reject us, you're hanging out a tract and somebody says, no thanks. Or you're trying to reach out to someone, but no thanks, that's fine. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting the Lord. We're simply being faithful to God's call. We have been sent forth with a message. Paul says, separated unto the gospel of God. Quite an introduction he has as he's trying to get his heart and his feelings over to these people. Separated unto the gospel of God. And you back up for a little bit. First, he called himself a servant. We looked at. Next, he called himself an apostle, which kind of covers a lot. We know what his goal was and what he wanted to do, but he wasn't done. I got the feeling he had a point to make here. It wasn't sufficient what he said so far. He said, separated unto the gospel of God. He was called to the task of preaching the gospel. He was set apart for that work. It was not his choice nor his decision. However, he heard the call and responded to it. And his primary commission we can read about in Acts 9:15, to bear Christ's name before the Gentiles. So I asked, do you consider yourself a servant? Do you consider yourself apostle? What about, do you consider yourself separated unto the gospel of God? As God looks down on us, you know, are we fulfilling his will? Are we being what he wants us to be? Chosen by God, you and I have been individually picked to be one of his special carriers of the gospel message. So the responsibility is huge. And it's not just given for Paul and for the Roman church, but it's for each one of us. Are we separated unto the gospel of God? Speaking of the gospel, verse 2, which he promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Verse 2 and 3, speaking of the gospel, it's a message, quote, concerning the son Jesus Christ. Christ is the central theme for the gospel. Do we carry that forth, recognizing that as well? Verses, the end of verse 3 and verse 4 shows us that Christ, though he was one person, belonged to two realms, a human and a divine. He was descendant of David, verse 3, revealing his human side, declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. Resurrection of the dead. There we see his divine side, showing the divine realm that he was part of as well. Verse 5, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for the obedience of the faith among all nations for his name. By whom, again, speaking of Jesus Christ, we have received grace. This is referring to the power and the ability to do the work which God had called him to do. And same for you and I. Here we see the power that God and the ability to do the work that God has called us to. Paul couldn't forget the years he spent trying to stamp out the gospel. And he recognized that it was the grace of God that saved and enabled him. And you know, we look back at who we were before we met Christ, and it's the grace of God that saved us, that enabled us to do the work that he has called us to today. Among whom, now here, verse 6, the greeting continues, so to speak, but now Paul is telling the church at Rome that you too are called. So again, let's apply this to the church at Marystown this morning, verse 6 and 7. Among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Let's just stop, park there for a while and put the Marystown church in there. We're called, beloved of God, and we are called to be saints. You know, this calling continues. We're set apart for a holy purpose. A lot of times when we think of saints, we think of, we kind of cringe a tad when we hear the word. Think it's a position that only few reach, and we look at the saints in the Bible, we say, oh, they were saints. But this calling is for you and for me this morning. This calling is for us. We are called to be saints. A saint is one who is pure, morally blameless, and religious and holy. So that doesn't exclude any one of us. We're called to be here. In the New Testament, Christians were called saints for their holiness. They were called believers for their faith. They were called brethren for their love. And they were called disciples for their obedience. So this morning, we are disciples, we're brethren, we're believers, and we're called to be saints because of our holiness. So saints isn't something that, I can't attain. No, that's for you, that's for me. To all that be at Myerstown, beloved of God, called to be saints, you are called to be holy, to live a morally pure and upright life for the Lord. We are called to this level of living. We are called. God has called each one of us and set us apart for a holy purpose. And this should help us to understand what we believe about nonconformity, as we see in Romans 12:2. It says, and be not conformed to this world. Remember, we're called, set apart, separated unto the gospel. It says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. You know, we're not taught, before we met Christ, then we were transformed. Now, this is our new calling, so to speak. This verse continues to tell us why. It says, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of who? Will of God. So we are called to be saints. We are called to that. Following the selfish desires of this world will hinder or will even halt God's intended purpose for our lives. And called to be saints is not something we should desire to get away from. Like, that calling is too high for me. That's not what we're supposed to look at. But instead, let's view this as a blessing that God has placed that kind of calling on our lives and calling someone like you and me to fulfill his perfect will. You might say, oh, he's called, he's the president. Wow, we look up to him. And they're the CEO of this business. Wow, look at them. Oh, he's a good basketball player and so on and so forth. Wow, look at these people. And let's set that aside. Wow, look at you. God called you and God called me to fulfill his purpose, to fulfill his will. The calling of the sports arena and business world, that's going to come to nothing. But the calling God has placed upon our lives will lead us to glory when we fulfill the will that he has for us. Keeping our lives separate from the world will keep us in tune with God's will for our lives. I got to find a place here to put it in park. I think I'm going to stop right there. Let me back up. For the challenge for us this morning, are you, am I, a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ? I repeat, a slave. We have been bought with the blood of Jesus Christ? Are we serving him faithfully? Are you willing to fulfill your call to be the apostle, to take the gospel message that God has given to you and to I, and to take it to others? Are we willing to be bold for the sake of the gospel? Without a doubt, Drew and Andrew get into some situations that's going to, for lack of a better word, stretch them. But may we be stretched as well and be bold. What we have, we need to tell others. We can't just keep that message within. We're called to be an apostle, carrying forth the message, not putting it in our hip pocket and keeping it there, but carrying forth and spreading it abroad. We need to be bold. We look at Peter and say, oh, he was bold, and we admire him for that. May we be bold for the Lord. Are we separated unto the gospel? That's a calling that we need to get a hold of. We live in a very influent world, but we're separated. We're called to be separate. How does it look? How can we apply this? We can't fit in with the mainstream society and the trends of this world. We need to be separate. Because we want to be? No, because God has called us to be higher yet than just what we want to be. And number four here, or last one, called to be saints. God has called you. He has called me. We're to be pure and blameless. And then the rest of his blessings can rest upon us. I repeat, we're called to be saints for our holiness. We're called to be believers for our faith. We're called to be a brethren for our love. And we're called to be disciples for our obedience. So as we go on, I challenge you to read through Romans. I'm not sure how many messages it's going to be. The way it looks, it's going to be a number if you want to cover 7 verses every time. But as we go through, I challenge you to read that. But more importantly, just to take the challenge that Paul gave us here. We're called to a level that sometimes we get complacent in, but we're called to a high level of living. We're called to a living that when God looks down upon us, he is pleased with our lives. And for words could be added upon, but just that we are pure in the eyes of God. And sometimes need to set aside our differences and just focus on the Lord Jesus Christ and his will for my life and for yours as well. So I invite you to read through as we go through this book. Also invite you to check your lives out and live a life that is pleasing to God. May we be his servants, just doing his will as we go on through our lives. Let's pray. Father, we come before you. Thank you, Lord, for your holy word. And thank you, Lord, for the book that Paul wrote to the Roman Christians, the book of his heart, his theology. Lord, I pray that we can apply this to our hearts and to our lives. And for this morning, Lord, may we be servants of yours. May we be apostles of yours. May we be separated unto the gospel. May we be called. May we be the saints that you have called us to be, God. Help us to be pure and holy and blameless in your eyes, Lord, and just to do your will. Be careful with our agenda and just give it to you, God. When Paul says he was separated into the gospel, it's hard to picture that, but I believe him, Lord, just being exactly that, just giving up selfish motives, ambitions, and goals and saying, you know, I'm just going to take my life, the energies I have, and to serve the Lord. Give us boldness throughout this coming week, God, and guide and direct and bless our steps. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we have a song, please?